journey to learn about the favor of God. Now, you and I love being in favor with someone. We just appreciate people not being mad at us all the time. So the favor part is awesome. But finding favor with God is the most, here's your word that doesn't exist, Randy. It's the most awesomeness. Is that a word?
Joey used it many times today.
Good, Joey. I'm glad you did. Thank you. It's awesome. God says, I want you looking to me. Well, do you know what we're looking to God for? His favor. That's right. Throughout the Old Testament, when you're reading those stories, you will find, now this only happened to certain people. Pay attention to this part. During the Old Testament era, before the forming of the church, during the Old Testament times, God would pour out his favor on certain people to become leaders or to promote a word that God has for them to promote. His favor would go on that individual and touch that individual so powerfully that that individual had the power to call on God and the sun would stand still. Woo! That's favor with God. You hear me? Now, God, though, then we know that when those individuals would complete the task God had given them, it's not that God's love withdrew, but that particular favor with God, well, it's called grace. You're going to talk about the favor of God, you can talk about grace. It's the same thing. Okay? But the outpouring of the favor of God on everybody had not happened. It did not happen during that era. But all the prophets spoke of the time when it's going to happen. Well, you and I are living in the time when it has happened. Amen. Here's what our problem is. We're living in the end of that time. The beginning of the church age started about 2,000 years ago. That was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God and God's favor. But God said, I want you to know something. When my favor is poured out on you, I'm not a respecter of persons. Well, that means then God is not going to support me when all hell comes against me because he's not a respecter of person. No, that's not what that means. It means that God will give everyone the same opportunity, no matter who they are, to accept his Holy Spirit, to accept his Son. That's what that means. God has poured out his Spirit on all. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever seeks me will find me. Whosoever knocks, I'll open the door. I'll come into your life. I'll come into your heart. I'll make a difference in your existence. And I'll touch the lives of everyone around you positively. Woo! That day was coming. The prophets shouted it. And then the day came. Jesus' resurrection. Hear me. Come on, Christians. Jesus' resurrection ushered in the favor of God. When he resurrected from that grave, from the dead, he said, you remember on the cross he said, it's finished. He was giving us something to really look at. What had just happened on the cross, the death for our salvation, it was it. There's nothing more that needed to be given. Jesus, the Son of Almighty God, had given his all. And he gave it all for you, for me. Those of us who are never in existence yet, those who are to come. He said, I'll give it all for you. I told you this day was coming. This day is here. And they put him in a tomb saying, oh, it's over. Huh? They were sad. Do you ever notice not very many people listen to the Lord? Got the same problem today. Because see, the same Lord that came forth from that tomb is the same Lord who told you and me when he left to ascend into the heavens, I'll be back, boys. That's a paraphrase. I'll be back. He says, I'm coming back. Just as that generation who was not really expecting him, wasn't watching for him, Jesus was born in a manger. Not one religious leader showed up. Not one. Only the general population people, the shepherds. Woo, they were smelly. Their whole life existence, a lot of people didn't want to be around them. They are weird people. You know, Brother Randy, they say Christians are odd. We are. Because I'll tell you what I believe. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe that God Almighty sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for my sins. I believe that he loved me so much that he went ahead, he went into that grave, and he conquered hell and all that it represented, and he came back. And you know what he did? He fixed breakfast for his disciples on the beach. Now, what a Savior. He's awesome. And that awesomeness is in existence to this day. He's still feeding us. He's still pampering us. He's still saying, oh, come on, Larry. I love you. Let's get out of this ditch again. Let's get out of this ditch again. Every time I get in a ditch of life, you know why I don't sweat it? Jesus is coming. You know what he lets me know? I was already here waiting for you. I knew what you was going to do. Don't you understand that we serve a living God that loves us so much, he knows we're going to mess up, and he's prepared a way to catch us when we do? That's love. Don't you do that for your kids? Well, you know, when you have a toddler. You go into somebody's house who's got a new toddler. You know they love that toddler. When you look up and every cabinet has something wrapped around it to lock it. You want to get up and get a drink of water? Well, you're going to have to cut the locks to get a glass. Because I'm going to make sure my child is protected. That's just a fraction of how much Jesus loves us. We got a little taste of that love when you love your children. When you love your family, when you love your friends, you got a taste of it. And you want to do all that you can to help them and to be with them. We just got a taste of it. Jesus says, I'm full force. I'm full force love you. I full force am going to protect you. I full force am going to make sure that when you get into problems in this world, I will be there to pick you up and pull you out. And I will say, may God have mercy on the soul of those who mess with you. Because you belong to Jesus. You're the child of a king. Appreciate it. When the church age began, listen to what Paul says, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Meaning, don't let vanity. Don't say, oh, I receive God's grace because I'm so good. I receive God's grace because I did so much. I receive God's grace because I got a better looking t-shirt than anybody else has. You see what I mean? That's vanity. Don't do that. Let us not receive God's grace in vain. For he says, Jesus, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you now, and it is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. That is, Jesus' resurrection ushered in the favor of God. We're still living in God's favor. We're still living in the day of grace. Folks, there's never been a better time than the time in which we are living. We are the children of Almighty God, given all power.
Amen.
As he is glorified by doing the great works within the heart of the human race. You want something to change? Pray. Well, preacher, you still go through all that pain. You better believe I do. So what? So what? There are people out there that have got a lot more pain than I have. There are people out there hurting a lot more than I do. I don't know why I'm going through it. But the key is I can tell you who gets me through it. I can point you to the Jesus in my life that helps me when you start breaking down. It's the love of God. You love your children, but you can't take away that pain. But you can sure be there with them during it. It is Christ, and it helps us to grow. Sometimes, Brother Joey, I feel like I've grown enough. I'm darned in pain. But the Lord knows. And yeah, I'm already a winner. I get to stand up and preach once a week. I get to study for a whole week. I get to pray for a whole week before. Then I get up and preach a complete different sermon, John, that I'm not in control of at all. Wonder why that is. You study to show yourself approved, a workman for the Lord. But let the Lord do the delivering. Let him touch the heart. I don't know what somebody needs to hear. God does. And whatever it is, I pray that I get to proclaim it. Here's results of the Lord's favor. You ready? This is Luke 4, 18, 19. Now, Jesus comes into town. Now, at one time, he was semi-popular. Never really with the religious leaders, but he certainly was very popular with the general public. And they had invited him to speak that day, to read from the prophets in the synagogue and to deliver the message. And now it's about similar to today. You read the Word of God, and then they paraphrase the Word of God that they just read. That's what the preacher does. He paraphrases, meaning you break it down so people can understand it in the situation and the time in which they're living. So Jesus stands up, and he reads from the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Now listen to what Isaiah is saying prior to the day of the Lord. Is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. This is the Old Testament prophet. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. Well, this stuff hadn't happened yet. Now, during Isaiah's day, Isaiah's prophesying to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Woo! to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus is reading this. And man, did he get in trouble. You know what he did? You know what Jesus always does? Tells the truth. And he takes the scriptures and he rolls them back up of the prophet. And he lays them back properly in order. And he looks at them and he says, today, this scripture has been fulfilled. Oh, they went wild. It's time. Okay, grab him, boys. We're going to kill him. And that's what they were getting ready to do. Do you know what they did? They took our Lord, because what he had said, he had just declared by making that statement, the Messiah is here. That's what the scripture represents. The Messiah, when he comes. And Jesus said, today, this scripture has been fulfilled. So here, now listen to this. So they march him out. They take him up to a high place. They were going to push him over. They were going to kill him. And the scripture says, they take him up there. Then all of a sudden, Jesus just walks through the midst of them and he's gone. He wasn't staying for the party. He was not going to be involved with that foolishness. He had just told the truth. God will not let the truth go unprotected. So he just disappeared from their sight. Boy, I'd drive them crazy, wouldn't it? Somebody already push him? I didn't see that. No, Jesus is gone to complete his mission. And Jesus completed that mission that he was given. It was the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord's favor. And grace had come. And Jesus was letting everybody know, the time has come, and I'm here. And he walked, he preached, he taught. He told them what was going to happen, what had happened, and why it had happened. Nothing was left untold. And he said, the time will come. And he is coming when I will end this. And the day of grace will win out as the church age. This is the beginning of the church age. When Jesus was resurrected from that tomb, the church age began. The day of the Lord had come. His favor was upon whosoever will. And he had issued that proclamation, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He did not pick a particular people, a particular color, a particular nationality. He didn't do any of that. Whosoever, I'm a whosoever, you're a whosoever. Therefore, you have the same invitation that I have to either accept him or reject him. God does not show partiality in the salvation of people. Whoever wants to be saved can be saved. And Jesus started healing. He raised the dead. Well, naturally, death wasn't going to hold a person who raises the dead. But he looked to our heart and he says, here is the end time story for you. Here's the end time for me. I can tell you what it is right now. Eternal life. You see, The body's going to be gone, pain and all. Larry Pete's going to be sticking around. Well, not here. I got to be with the Lord. You will too. And we'll be together. And don't sweat it. We're not going to be separate that long. We'll be together. And there will be a supper time, a fellowship. Every time you turned around, Jesus was feeding his disciples. Ornery bunch. And he loved them. He cared. And he showed his favor upon them, his grace. God's favor gives us eternal life. Listen to Ephesians 2, 8 and 10. For it is by grace you have been saved. You knew that, didn't you, Brother Randy?
I've read that.
Yes. Through faith. You didn't, but I'm not doubting something and looking for proof. Oh, did you hear what that scientist said the other day? He agreed with the Bible. Well, that's good. Maybe he got saved. And that's good. I've never had any trouble with science in the Bible. God's the one that created science. I think he did quite an awesome job with it. But not everybody who calls themselves a scientist actually reads the signs properly. God does. He sent Jesus to. And he says, listen now. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. God's favor. I'm going to give you a gift. What is it, Lord? Eternal life. I'll take it. Oh, he didn't even have to have a Christmas tree for that one. Got eternal life. It was a cross. It was a tomb. Blood everywhere. And Jesus comes out white as light. He's looking good. And he says, the way I am, you soon shall be. We're going to look good. Solid light. We'll recognize each other. We'll talk to each other. Obviously, there's laughter. Just look on earth. Plenty to laugh about, the foolishness of man. But there's peace eternal. You believe that. It's a gift from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we, each one of us, are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. How do I know what I'm doing is of the Lord? Is it good? It's of the Lord. If what you're doing is bad, it's not of the Lord. Pretty simple, isn't it? Which God prepared in advance for us to do. No surprises to God. What I'm going through right now is not a surprise to God. It was a surprise to me, but it wasn't a surprise to God. Prepared in advance. God says, fine. Follow me, trust me, I'll take care of it. Not one time does he say you're not going to go through the reality of living in the process. You'll go through the pain of life. You'll go through the same storms that the lost goes through. You're going to go through life if you're alive. But when you said yes to Jesus, folks, you got eternal life. You got the favor of God in your life.
Thank you, Lord.
And when you have the favor of God covering you, even through your ignorance as a human being, you can't mess that up. God loves you just like you are. And he proved it. He died on a cross for you, just like you are. And it doesn't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings of life, the joy of salvation, for your truth, dear Lord God, for your purpose, for your call upon our lives as Christians. Touch us now, dear Lord God, as we go this week. Let us be a voice for you. Let us be a presence for you. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will protect my congregation. Touch them, dear Lord God, in a mighty way this week. They're your servants, Lord. Be with them. Watch over them. Give them strength to follow through on all that needs to be done within their life. We ask, Father, this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.